Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh, no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Two, three, four.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to it right across the Triple M network. So far this round, Cowboys 24, Dogs 16, Panthers 32, Dragons 28, Broncos 22, Souths 18, Brody Croft's shoulder should be okay, Raiders 20, Warriors 6, Manly 9, Roosters 8, and Storm 12, Sharks 10, Josh Morris is now a Rooster, Tigers Knights today, Titans Parramatta, and joining us for the show today, on deck for the first time this year, it's the great Gordon Tallis. Hello, Raging Bull.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon, listeners.
Nice to see you, mate. How's the off-season?
It's been fantastic. So got a bit of time to bond with little Billy. He's about 13 months now, so 5 months at home with the little boy, which was good, and the other kids, so it was great.
Good on you, mate.
And Gemma, of course.
Yeah. Paul, NRL 360 has been huge this week. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, isn't it? Not a lot of footy as such that we're talking about, but everything is changing so quickly around the game. People are still fascinated by what's going on, so I'm enjoying it, actually. It's interesting times.
Australia's little hero, James Hooper. Nice to see you on the show as well. They've keeping you pretty busy with all this coronavirus gear.
King of Cashies, Anthony Maroon. There's always something happening, Anthony. And, yeah, look, it's changed the world, hasn't it? All the coronavirus and everything else that has flowed on as a result. But the footy soldiers on, and we had a lot of good talking points out of the weekend already. A couple of cracking games Friday and last night as well.
Okay, some big interviews coming up today. Peter Volandis will join us very shortly. Darius Boyd for you Broncos fans. He's coming up as well. And Jared Croker, too, from yesterday from the Raiders. Another victory for those guys. Now, we've got a poll, Maroon's poll, before we go any further. Maroon's poll. I think the captain's challenge should be scrapped. I'll ask you guys your opinion a little bit later on, but you can have your say on the Triple M NRL Facebook or Twitter page. Leave a comment and let us know what you think. What have you thought of the captain's challenge so far? I just think it's probably just another thing that slows the game down, and I think players and coaches are going to start working out how they can use it to their advantage in more ways than one. But as I say, we'll get to that. Let's get to the
I'm going to eat you up on that.
Most important thing. Let's get to the chairman of the ARL, a man who's given his time again today, Peter Volandis. Welcome to the show once again. Hello, Peter. He's just got him on a bit. We got him there. He's. Are you there, Pete?
Yes, I can hear you, Anthony. Can you hear me?
All good, mate. Thanks for coming on. They said we wouldn't get through round one, and here we are. We've nearly done round two.
We've got two games to go, so I'm hoping and praying we'll get through those two, and round three is a challenge.
Pete, we heard from Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, this morning. Does that change anything, the latest developments around this pandemic that's currently going on all around the world?
I don't believe so, because the Prime Minister said during questioning that it's sport for, minor sports. It didn't include the NRL and the AFL, and that he would be discussing that with us tomorrow to continue the travel. It should be remembered we're using chartered flights. We're not using the normal commercial domestic planes. So hopefully we'll be able to continue to travel, even though there's a ban on non-essential travel on domestic airliners.
Pete, you said round three is a challenge. Has anything changed or is anything about to change that we're not aware of?
There's a national cabinet meeting tonight, and if you listen to a lot of the rumours, it's going to be a challenge moving forward. The potential lockdowns in New South Wales and Victoria has been mentioned. Suburbs being locked down has also been out there. But as I said last Sunday, this changes hourly, and a decision we make today may change tomorrow. And, we're prepared for the worst. We've looked at every contingency. We're ready for whatever they throw at us.
So even if there is a lockdown, the fact that you've got privately chartered planes and that you're expecting that to impact on that?
I think the lockdown is different to the banning of the non-essential domestic travel. It really depends what they're locking down, who they're locking down, how they're locking it down. So tonight is a vital meeting for us in moving forward, because a lot of those answers will come from the meeting. Look, we've got a four-week window that we can work with during the state of origin. You know, there's a buy round, and there was a minor round. So we've always got two rounds up our sleeve, and we can always extend the season. It just really depends when we have to pull the lever to suspend the season. You know, the longer we can go, the better it is. And, you know, we'll continue to go while we still receive the appropriate advice from the health authorities and from our biosecurity and pandemic expert. And our biosecurity and pandemic expert is saying that we're doing everything correctly right now. In fact, by isolating the players, it puts them in a better position than if they were just to go around their normal day life. They're more protected by being self-isolated, so they're least risk. So by continuing to play, it's actually the least risk situation at the moment.
So, Pete, the way the competition is structured at the moment, every week we're seeing eight games, and you just said then that later in the season we're going to have a couple of split rounds, which will allow you a couple of weeks to catch up if that's the case. But is there a potential that we can see some weeks, say round three, four, five, or whenever, when three games might go ahead but five don't, and you'll be sort of delaying those games, and we might later in the season see clubs have to make up games?
Look, Paul, every option's on the table. We haven't looked at that option at this stage. We're really relying on that 4 week window, on that bye round, and also extending the season if we need to, and we're looking at the international games. So there's still a lot of options up our sleeve. It just depends on really when we have to suspend the season. I'm hoping we don't have to suspend the season. It's imperative we play every game this year, and the State of Origin series. And if we do play every game, and we do play the State of Origin, we'll get out the other end. Anything else other than that is going to be a major challenge financially.
Is there a chance of moving every team up to, say, Townsville or the Northern Territory, so they are more isolated?
That option is on the table, and we are exploring it. It is a live option, taking them up to, say, somewhere like Gladstone, where there's 1,300 rooms, where you can actually even isolate them even further, because you can put them in different blocks, which minimises the risk. And you know, it's easy transport then to, you know, some major stadiums around Queensland. Look, that's one of our major options that we're leaving right up to the last minute if we need to use it. It's got its own challenges. I mean, you know, trying to shift people and families, et cetera, into a central location is, you know, going to be difficult, and we'll probably lose a few players along the way. But we have to do everything we possibly can to protect rugby league, to protect the game, to protect the players and everyone that works in the game.
Has it been hard, you know, convincing the players and the clubs to follow you, you know, are your and Todd's decisions?
No, not at all. Look, I've never seen rugby league more united. I take my hat off to Clint Newton. He's certainly communicating with the players. I think the players realise what difficulties we're in and the extreme circumstances. And, you know, they only have to look out at normal society to see how bad it is. And look, as I said, in my time in management of rugby league, which has now been 2 years, I've never seen the game more united. The clubs are united. The players are united. I think the NRL management has lifted, you know, considerably in the last week. You know, I think we've got everything available to us to get through this, and it won't be through lack of effort if we don't.
Peter, last week the club chief executives all spoke to each other, and they all basically had a fairly frank conversation about the need to start restructuring the way that businesses look at the moment, whether that's redundancies within football offices. Some executives are talking about taking pay cuts. Have the players addressed the fact that they might need to also take pay cuts?
Oh, absolutely. Look, they're realistic. I mean, we can't survive unless they take pay cuts in some of the scenarios. And we're all got to take cuts. You know, cuts have got to be happening in clubs. They've got to happen at the NRL. And the NRL has got to lead by example and make drastic cuts at head office. The executives at the NRL, the commission, everyone has to take cuts. We're all in this together. So it's not just the players that have got to take cuts. And one thing that I'm a little bit disappointed in, however, though, is that everyone's picking on the players that are the elite players that are earning a lot of money. But there's still as many players earning less than 80 grand that will be affected. You know, you just can't look at one sector of the game and say that, oh, you know, why should these players be getting so much? There's a lot of players that aren't getting that much, and we've got to look after them first and foremost.
But when does this conversation start then? What's is it going to take games not being played for that conversation to then begin?
No, look, the conversation's already begun because no matter which scenario we're in, we're going to make significant financial losses. So that hard discussion has to happen next week, and we are going to talk next week and have a look at what our options are. And, you know, in the CBA, it does allow for these discussions to occur. If the NRL at some time has a material reduction in its revenues, that both parties have got to come together and act in good faith and work in good faith to reach a resolution. And I've never seen more cooperation. I think, you know, common sense will prevail, and we'll come forward with a package to players to take to the players, and I'm sure they'll accept it.
But I know the simple answer to this is going to be I don't know, we don't know. But has there sort of been some sort of idea about how far into the competition you can get before you will be affected? I know, like I said, the answer is going to be we don't know. And then the next answer is generally once one player becomes infected, then we might have to shut down. But I've also spoken to some club bosses who've told me that they're now of the thought that if a player does come down with the virus, then what ends up happening is they want to, because every club already has structures in place to isolate the players and to protect the rest of the group, that they will immediately enact that hopefully they'll get that player tested, then they'll get the rest of the squad tested. And if out of their 25-man squad they've only got two players, for example, who are infected, they'll just isolate them, get them through their period, but continue playing. Is that feasible?
Yes, it is feasible, and that was the question that I asked the health minister when we met with him during the week. Is at what stage do we have to isolate teams of the virus? You know, what if the player was isolated in between training and hadn't come in contact with play? It really depends on the point where they're made aware that they've got the virus and what contact they had with certain people. You know, then you may have to isolate both teams for 14 days, but that doesn't affect the other teams. And again, we've got every contingency up our sleeve, including playing some of those games we miss during the State of Origin when there's a bye round and a smaller round of games. So we're looking at all those contingencies. And there's a whiteboard at NRL head office full of contingencies and how we deal with each contingency. It's a bit like a minefield. You get through the first bit and hope you don't hit a mine in the second bit. So I'm confident that we've got everything covered at the moment. You know, even the complete lockdown, we've got a strategy for that. You've got to be prepared. And one good thing that we have done is we've been proactive all the way through this, and we'll continue to do so.
So, Pete, if we do reach the worst-case scenario and you have to press pause on the competition for a period of time, realistically, we could be looking at a November final series and grand final, maybe even playing as late as December.
Look, we've got to the 20th of December, basically, without affecting next season. And, you know, that's an option that's on the table. I stressed at the media conference last Sunday that every option is on the table. There is not an option that's not on the table, because this changes hourly, and a decision you make today could be completely different tomorrow. So we have to have, a mountain of strategies, a mountain of contingencies. As I said, the NRL management have done a great job going through every contingency that we put forward and to see how we get through it. And I'm quietly confident that, unless there's something drastic happens, that we can get through this.
So, Peter, and talking of something drastic, Phil Gould, I thought, wrote an excellent article in the Herald basically calling on players to take their part and be responsible. You issued an edict last week that players had to self-isolate, they had to get themselves out of cafes and nightclubs and all the rest of it in an attempt to keep themselves safe, therefore keep their team safe, therefore keep the competition safe, therefore, in the end, keep their pay packets safe. What happens if a player is reportedly seen in a nightclub or he's out having coffee? Are you going to fine them? Because that potentially, as I understand it, they have they run the risk of putting the whole competition at stake.
Not only that, they put their family at stake. They put all their teammates at stake. It's a major decision for them to act recklessly. We will be introducing penalties, no doubt about that. That's the second part of the process. Let's get the protocols in first. Let's get the buy-in by the players. Now, we're discussing with the players what they believe self-isolation should look like. We've given them a template. They've been very positive about that. As I said, they've been extremely cooperative. And then the second part of the process is to consult the clubs and the players in relation to how we penalise someone that acts recklessly. We're not going to penalise someone that's just made an innocent error. But someone in the nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning that's putting all his teammates, his family and the game at risk, there will be a penalty. And that could range from a lot of things. And as I said, I won't preempt that until we have the discussions, but I can tell you that it won't be soft.
And clearly the players have been told to shut down their Tinder accounts.
Yeah.
I can't comment on that, mate. I thought Tinder was a plan, so he bought it.
Peter, before you go...
Where do you buy from?
Yesterday we saw the Warriors play their first game, being a team based on the Gold Coast. And obviously there's some players that have arrived from New Zealand to link with the Warriors that are in quarantine now. Have we got any further development with them being able to have a borrowing arrangement with the other NRL teams?
Yes, look, we're looking at all those options to keep the Warriors viable. I've never seen a more selfless act than what the Warriors have done. I think if the community behaved like the Warriors and it was selfless, I don't think we'd be in this predicament, and we certainly wouldn't be running for toilet rolls. So we'll assist the Warriors every way we can, and repay the selflessness that they've showed, including, you know, possibly borrowing players. We haven't got the state cups being played now. And as you say, there's already some players that have arrived in Australia. They've sat out the 14-day isolation and they'll be available after that 14 days. So, look, there's some hope there for the Warriors in relation to players, et cetera. And we'll do everything in our power to repay the enormous sacrifice they've made for the game.
Good on you, Peter. Always good to catch up, mate. All the very best with the coming week.
No. Look, as I said, at the moment, I'm just bracing for anything. And I think tonight's national cabinet meeting is going to be big. And I think that's the next hurdle we have to overcome.
Okay, thank you very much. Peter Volandis, the chairman of the ARL. And you enjoy the rest of your day, mate. And I hope you get a bit of time to just have a bit of a relax for half an hour. There, he's gone. Okay, well, there he is. Before we do move on, Kenty and Hoops and Gordy, I don't want to sound cheesy here, but he's such an inspirational leader for the ARL. We really were blessed to have him come along and be available to the ARL in this point in time, considering the history he has when the horse racing industry was in dire straits.
Look, I think the thing about him is in the early days here, every sport, the easy answer was to say, look, we're going to shut down the doors and we're going to call it off and we're going to have a month's break or a 2 weeks break. Cameron Smith, the former Australian captain, asked for a 2 week suspension of the competition. Peter Volandi saw the bigger picture quicker than anybody else and he said, we need to push ahead. And the reason we need to push ahead is because it affects so many people's incomes. And we're starting to actually see that elsewhere now. Poor old, Wise Cutavara downstairs was talking about his coffee shop and basically he sold six coffees today and thinking about shutting down early. There's a lot of people around the place, companies,
clubs, restaurants.
Pubs, clubs, they're just not opening. And people are really, financially, are really going to start struggling at some point soon. And the NRL is aware of that and aware that they're going to be vulnerable to that and it may one day affect them. But let's try and continue playing for as long as we can. And I really like the idea that there's now been almost another development there where if a player does go down, and we all said once a player goes down, that's it, the competition will be suspended. But the NRL's thinking now is to say, okay, a player has gone down, we're going to isolate him, we'll test the rest of the group to make sure no one else in the club has been affected. And then from there, we'll just continue pushing on as per usual.
So it's like an injury. So it's like if they hurt themselves.
Or if they got a regulation flu.
Yes.
You know, it's like you remember when you were playing, somebody got the flu, you just quarantine them, isolate them, keep them away from the side.
Well, it happened last
everybody
week
else
with
go
me.
On.
So like, I had a bit of a tickle in my throat, right? So because of the world's gone a little bit crazy, I had to ring up and ask, like, the guys that I'm working with, because that's where it's got to now. And players, if they're that honest and go, well, listen, I'm okay and I felt okay and I could play, but...
Maroon, you know, was bagging you, surprise, behind your back, saying you're in a hazmat suit.
Well, mate, because all of a sudden when you get a runny nose, Maroon, like, you have a month off because you're this strong.
I'd never take it. It's Gordon, he said I said something which I didn't say, and you're already attacking me.
I was listening last week, so you think that the radio doesn't work in Queensland.
I wouldn't be listening to what Hoops...
Just to go back to your very salient point about Peter Volandis and what a great leader he's been throughout this challenging period, he's the best leader that rugby league has seen since John Quayle and Ken Arthurson. Mm-hmm. And it's taken, you know, the sky's literally fallen in. And that's not just in rugby league. That's all around the world at the moment. But it's taken that tough period to really show just exactly how good he is. And we're very lucky to have him in charge of the game at the moment.
Well, he made a decision and he made everybody buy in. Well, that's leadership. And if everybody keeps on following, whether it's the right decision or not, but everybody's followed him, and we're all following him. So if we keep on following him, well, it's the right decision.
Well, I think a lot of sports now are looking at the NRL thinking perhaps we could have done it this way as well. Like, I think it's embarrassing that the NBL, for example, with two games at most, possibly only one left in their season, called it off. I thought that the Sydney Kings to come out and say we're not going to finish the final series when they're down 2-1.
They are basketball players.
Yeah, look, Gordon, you can take that up with Andrew Bogut, not me. He's 7 foot, Gordon. No, but
bit of body there.
He's got for reach.
Oh, hasn't he? What?
But I was. I thought it was embarrassing, and I thought that's a perfect example of a sport that needed good leadership and lacked it. I like the way that the NRL has led the way on this. AFL, they almost forced the AFL to follow suit. The AFL,
they were gone. They were very
last
jittery.
Last Thursday morning, they were prepared to suspend their competition for a month. Only following the NRL's decision to bull those forward did the AFL then change its mind. And I think, look, I was watching TV this morning and they were showing clips. Unfortunately, they were showing the other code, not our code. But they were showing clips in America of the reaction to it because they're now being televised overseas into some of these countries where they've all shut down. I know there's no more boring TV at the moment than ESPN, where it's just basically old 30 for 30 reruns and UFC knockouts. Mm. So once you've seen those four or five times, they start to run. You can see the knockout coming, trust me.
Now, but Paul, can I ask you this? We did touch on it last week, but for people but probably like me who exclusively follow NRL, they don't know Peter Volandi's history in racing in this state. And going back 10, 12 years, racing was in a crisis of a similar type. So he led them out of that. So
I tell you what he did.
We're in good hands.
They had the equine flu came in and decimated the racing industry. And the only way the horses stopped them from getting sick was they quarantined them all, and every horse had to basically stay where it was stable. So the whole racing industry shut down. Now, Peter Volandi at the time came out and said, I'm going to go to the government. And let's remember, he came in from the trotting industry, so there was not the harness racing industry. So there's not a lot of. Yeah, racing people are a little bit elitist sometimes, and they were a little bit suspicious of this guy who'd come in from the working class sport. So they didn't take to him initially. And when he said, I'll come out and I'm going to see the government for a rescue package, everybody said, mate, he's kidding himself. But if he comes out with $20 million, he's done a good job for us. So they just said to him, yeah, mate, it's not going to happen, but go and do your best. Now, by the time he finished negotiating, he came out with $235 million. Now, after that, they were naming babies after him in the racing industry because no one could believe it. But he did such a tremendous job there. And again, Peter's a guy who figures out what needs to be done and then figures out how to get it done. He doesn't sit there and carry on with all the bullshit politics that so many of our leaders have carried on with, both in politics and in the NRL in recent years. He's not about being politically correct. He's not about pleasing people who have got weird, wonderful opinions on things. He's there about just making the common sense decision. And this, let's remember, this has all been driven primarily by economics. Now, the health has run a close second, but if the NRL just had bowed over and said, look, we're going to be done, we're going to shut down the competition, firstly, you couldn't say we're going to shut down for a month and then come back because it might, as we're now seeing in the past, what's happened in the past 10 days, 12 days, it's actually getting worse. So to say, well, let's shut down for a fortnight, like Cameron Smith said, or shut down for a month, it's an open-ended conversation. You might intend to go there for a month and it might cost you 6 months, at which point it would cost the NRL its competition because there's so many wages to be paid in the NRL. They simply are struggling. Now, as I said already, I know most clubs are restructuring their business model at the moment. So people at the lower end, like the junior staff and all the rest of it, the people haven't been there long, are basically being told they don't have a job or about to be told they don't have a job. And then at the top end, people have been told, mate, we still want you, but you've got to take a pay cut or else we may not survive.
In terms of the next 24 hours, I think one of the most important things to take out of what Peter Volandi's just said then is this cabinet meeting tonight. So it sounds as though there's going to be some very serious decisions made there. And then rugby league, like the other major sports around Australia, are going to have to see where the cards are sitting on Monday morning.
Well, we all knew it was getting serious when the Wednesday night trivia at Wendy Leagues was cancelled through the week. We knew that we were playing.
How much did that cost you?
Uncharted territory.
How much did that cost you?
It's not about the money. It's about the impact it'll have on the community.
The one thing that will keep your head above water. Cash is king.
No,
and
mate.
So you got it.
That much better. It's not about me, mate. It's not about me.
Well, look at all the dirt under his fingernails from his wrist. That's around the back yard. Trying to find those hidden.
Oh, mate. You don't see the fingers in the back.
Honestly, listen, it's only 25 past. Keep your powder dry, okay? Because I know what you three are like. You start off all guns a-blazing and then you die in the coit as we get closer to the end. So keep your powder dry. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit of NRL. Uh-huh. A great win for Manly last night as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the east coast of Australia or via the app at triplem.com.au. Lots of people listening across the world now with lots of other sports being cancelled. It's Triple M Sunday Sin Bin with Hoops, Kenny, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. No, it's just checking all the tweets. At Triple M_NRL, we've got Leon in Casula who says he only got the back of that interview with Peter Volandis. We'll try and get a little bit more of that on for you later. Leon, thank you very much. Now, the poll today, Maroon's poll. I think the captain's challenge should be scrapped. You can have your say on the Triple M NRL Facebook or Twitter page. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. But I don't like the captain's challenge so far. So 58% agree with me, by the way, boys.
Why?
Because I don't like the captain's challenge. It's another stoppage. It's another game, another reason to stop the game.
Maroon, they need to watch the games a bit more closely. Before there was this captain's challenge, everybody thought they were a captain. Everybody would go up there and argue with the referee. Everybody would go up there and challenge the decision and stop the game. Now there's a captain's challenge. They can only do it once. So there's actually less stoppages in the game. But people that like yourself, right, that boo Santa Claus, don't like it.
Well, there's no need to get personal. You've got an opinion on it. I've got an opinion on it. There's no need to get personal.
Can I just check? Have we got a scrutineer analysing these numbers that you've just pulled out of your bull-eye pass?
Well,
or?
Can I tell you what's happened here? Tom Birmingham, our producer.
You've just fabricated
those figures. Don't throw him under the bus either.
I'm not throwing him under the bus.
Hey, Maroon, I'm with you, brother.
Yeah. You agree with me, Paul?
I'm with you.
All right, so there you go. But now they'll back off now. Yeah. Poor old Tommy Birmingham. He left here to go over to this news station called Macquarie Sports Radio. He sent them into the minuses. As soon as they went under, he's back here. He gets us. As you once said, Paul, he'll get in where water can't.
He's arthritis. He gets into every joint.
Let's talk about Manly's courageous win last night over the Roosters, who are now 0-2, Hoops. But we always knew Manly would have it in them this year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Look, there's a couple of players who really stood up for the Seagulls last night. Tommy Turbo, everybody was buzzing about what a complete performance it was from him. That try save on Luke Keary when he was over the line, and he's just purely an effort play to bat the ball out of his hands. Came up with another absolute bell ringer on a runaway Brett Morris to save what in all likelihood would have been another certain Roosters try. But then Daly Cherry-Evans as well, the 21st field goal of his career, DCE. And he had a couple other moments as well when Tommy Turbo, he threw the pass for Tommy Turbo to score the Seagulls try earlier in the opening half. Those two players in particular, just five-star performances.
I really like the way Manly have defended in their opening two games. You've seen the work that Des Hasler's put into them. And I just think that the Seagulls are a side now, already the way that they're defending, they're announcing themselves as a premiership threat. I still think there's got to be some improvement before they probably reached that elite level, but certainly you can see them now that if they keep defending the way they are, then come finals time, they're just going to be very hard to beat. They've got low scoring games at the moment. They're off the ball. They've been sensational. They're always supporting each other defensively from the inside, the outside. Tom Trbojevic's performance defensively has been first class. Like, I think it's five try saves now in the opening two rounds. That is invaluable for any football team that you can come up with five, because let's remember, in the simple mathematics, is every try you save is a try you don't need to score, and that's you just can't measure how important that is to a team and what he's been doing for them.
And it's how hard, because he was really disappointed with the way that he was defending, and just listening to Desi Hasler's press conference, that he worked really hard in the offseason. Well, it's paid off. So for one to compete as hard as he did, Luke Kirri's over the line, and I think Trent Robinson said that he won't have to talk to him about it, because that's embarrassing. That's an embarrassing moment that will be a replay forever. But Tommy, not to give up, he got beaten in the run. And Morris, he's such a strong
guy. Weapon,
you know? And for him just to be manhandled like that. And Tommy, and then that's a great game of footy. I think both sides created enough and they didn't execute, but then that's going to come. But wow, Manly, I think they just showed, because I think a lot of people thought that they were hiding in the long grass because they're going under the radar a bit, and all Desi sides are always under the radar, but they're the real deal.
Yeah, they are, and I just think that the way that they've approached their opening two games, look, it's a high-energy defensive performance. Yeah. The trick's going to be to try to maintain it through that dull period in the middle of the season, but tell you what, the way the season's panning out, they might not have that.
Let's talk a bit about the Roosters. So they're 0-2 now. I'm a Roosters supporter, though, Hoops, I'm not panicking. I'm thinking, well, it's two games. They could have gone either way yesterday.
No, it's a class roster. They've got so much depth. That's maybe the one little chink in the Seagulls' armour.
If they don't make the finals, they'll just buy Temalolo and Calvin Ponga.
Say they're the Warriors.
If there is one little chink in the Seagulls, it's just in terms of their top 30, it does thin out a little bit, aside from that 17 players that they had on the field last night. But the Roosters, look, they'll welcome, in all likelihood, Boyd Cordner. And, of course, we've got Josh Morris coming across from the Cronulla Sharks to slot in there at left centre, where Latrell Mitchell once upon a time played. They play the Rabbitohs in that awesome arch-rival local derby Friday evening. I think we'll get a true indication of where the Roosters are at up against their old arch-enemy.
Going back-to-back, going for the three-peat.
Travelling all the way
traveling,
over.
Coming back with what's happening in the season. Other guys coming, you know, like back into the side. A new halfback that is taking over a very dominant halfback role, that he got a lot of the quality ball. He was probably getting 70% of the football, you know. So now Kirri taking a little bit more. They will end up getting it, and they did create enough. So then, you know, obviously Morris going down, if there's support on the inside, Teddy's there all the time. So for Tedesco not to be there, that's a bit strange. But then Kirri getting over the line, they were very close yesterday.
I tell you where
no alarm bells.
I tell you where I'm not concerned either about the Roosters is in the past we see teams come out of a premiership, they come into the next season to defend it, and they start revving pretty high and they start well and they try to maintain it. And the Roosters came out with a model last year. They lost the first game last year. They won the second game, but they came out with a model last year where Trent Robinson had just a few key factors that they had to hit each game. A couple of, I suppose, were non-negotiables. But as for the rest of the game, he didn't really care about that because he didn't want them buying in and revving too high too early, because emotionally, teams that have done that generally run flat towards the end of the season. Yeah. So the Roosters went through this model last year. Clearly, they didn't intend to start 0-2, but the fact that they're comfortable resting Boyd Cordner shows that they're comfortable with where they're at. Other clubs, I don't know if they were defending their premiership, wouldn't have the discipline to be able to say, okay, let's do this. But the Roosters are comfortable where they're at. They know that they'll improve as the season goes on. They know essentially their job is to finish in the top four, which is still, you know, well in the realms for them.
Okay.
They got beaten by a point. Tell me this, what is going on with Boyd Cordner? Mate, you know, I mean, like, to start the season, he's your captain, he's your good player. Is his body up to it?
I think it is. I'll tell you why. So remember last year, he's played that much football over the course of the last few seasons. I know he misses games through injury.
He just had rested, 5 months off.
And he's rested for others. But you go back to last season, right? The Origin series, he played test matches for Australia at the end of the year. He hasn't had a preseason for 5 seasons. Yep. So I think they made the decision, right, we want to get a full preseason's work into Boyd to battle harden him for another arduous year. And because of the trip over to Europe, when they went overseas and they competed in the World Club Challenge, he got crook when they came back. So he had to miss a week of training there. And it's all just, Kenty's point about Trent Robertson and the way he likes to do tactical periodization with his training loads and all the rest of it. He's got a chart for Boyd, and it just meant that he wanted to freshen him up at this early stage of the season. I asked Boyd about it at the season launch. I said, mate, are you okay? Because we're hearing you're not going to be picked for the first few rounds. He said, yeah, I'm fine. They just want to – he had some soft tissue injuries last year in his calf. And
so he's just getting the work under the belt before he gets
They just want to make sure he's super battle-hardened and had a full preseason. His first one for a long time to try and put him in the best stead possible for the big games later on the year.
Good on your hoops, Kenty and Gordy Tallis. Of course, those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. You get up to $100 cash back on selected BFG tyres. And that interview with the great Pete Volandis, thanks to Celebrations, we're closer than you think. We're going to lighten things up a little bit next with our award-winning segment that's now gone global. I was going to say viral, but I said global instead.
Yeah.
It's I Call BS. It's coming up next as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Oh, yeah, we're with you right across 2020. Whatever happens, this is where you'll find us. You can get us on the app at triplem.com.au. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. The Broncos have started the season very nicely indeed. He's an NRL and a Broncos legend. Darius Boyd joins us. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, Darius.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
How does it feel, mate? Two wins to kick off the season.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, we didn't finish the year the way we wanted to last year, and we've worked hard over the pre-season. It's good to see some of those rewards coming in early in the season. Obviously, got a few injuries and suspensions and that too, so to do it out a few key guys as well, I think, is even more pleasing.
Hey, Darius, mate, what was it like running out at Suncorp Stadium? Obviously, you guys get a huge crowd at home games. What was it like running out to an empty stadium?
Yeah, it was different. I think the thing I noticed the most is that you could just hear the talk from the playing group, whether it was the opposition or yourselves. So I thought that was probably beneficial for probably both teams in a way, as far as hearing communication and combinations and all that type of stuff. But it was definitely different. The celebration, obviously, after a win or even after a try or things going your way, especially at Suncorp, we're lucky to have 40-plus thousands most weeks. So that was probably, it was different, but it and today we got the result, which is the most important thing.
And it must be really good signs because Brody Croft, I think, went off in about the 15th minute with a sore shoulder. But you guys could, like, hang in there, and that's pretty much what you didn't do last year, just with the game management. But you played out the 80 minutes against the committed South side.
Oh, I think definitely. I think anytime you lose one of your key playmakers middle of a game, I think that's always a bit of a disaster for a lot of teams. So I think for us to hold on and beat a quality team like South without our halfbacks most of the game, it was a very pleasing effort. And I think, like you said, I think our mental toughness is probably something we needed to work on and in different stages from last year. And it's something that so far so good we've been able to hold off the fast finishing Cowboys team and a strong Rabbitohs outfit as well.
Talk to us a little bit about the off-season for you personally, Darius. There's obviously been a lot of change going on at the Broncos club and you're no longer captain of the side. What was all of that like for yourself?
Yeah, it was a business as usual, I suppose, for me. I mean, I had a good time to get away with my family. I had a new another daughter born, which was great for, just to get away from footy and realise what's important, which is your family and friends. And I had a really good off-season, one of the best ones I've had in a long time, just a good break. And kind of was knowing that this would be my last season, so kind of planning and getting excited for that. And just excited for the future, not only for me personally, but as a club moving forward. There's some young talent there that's really, really exciting, and this team can go a long way if we can keep it together.
Daz, we've been listening to Matty Johns talk about you guys in recent weeks and just and how he sort of sees you attacking with the football. And part of what he's been saying is a little bit how Brady Croft's a running halfback. You've got obviously Milford there who's a running 5'8". And you've got such a, he calls you a north-south team that can just, that's really good just heading up the field. Does it feel different out there? Like there's a slightly different attacking structure that given the way most teams defend, most teams attack, that there'll be, I suppose, like a little bit of a small revolution in the way the Broncos play?
Yeah, I think ever since Thebes has come to the club, he's definitely wanted us to attack with the footy and use the ball in all instances. He doesn't really want, I suppose, lay plays, so to speak. He wants to always be attacking the opposition team and never taking the foot off the pedal. And I think Coffee just help us be able to realise, I suppose, some of those shapes and some of those things that Thebes wants us to do with his abilities and his game management, I suppose, which has really helped our team and our attack sense. And, I mean, you look at some of the players we have on our side. Tony was awesome on the weekend, and some of our outside backs, Jermaine and Corey Oates, Milford already spoke about. But then even just the forwards too, you've got Payne Haas, Dave Fifita, Tommy Flegler had a great game on the weekend as well. Some of those guys are really talented, fast, fit athletes as well. So the more we can use the football and create one-on-ones in the opposition defensive line, the better off the team will go.
We all draw into it. I know it doesn't get picked up by you blokes a lot, but the rivalry between Seibold and Bennett, Seibold finally got a victory in against the old master on the weekend. Did it get mentioned in the dressing room afterwards?
Oh, no, it didn't get mentioned, but I think it was definitely a lot of celebrating after the game, whether it was that or whether it was just a great effort, or, you know, whether it was, you know, playing against South, and obviously Wayne was our coach and Seibs was their coach, so whether it was that, I'm not too sure. But, yeah, it was definitely a bit of celebrating after the win. Obviously, you've got to celebrate your wins. You never know when the next one will be, and that's something we've been promoting within the group, that we really want to celebrate the times we do well and do it together as a group. So it was definitely an enjoyable night after the game.
Speaking of your group, Darius, that roster you've got, gee, you got some depth. Like, you lose a player like Tavita Pangai through suspension. Joe Offahengawe was also suspended at the start of the year. It looks as though Brady Croft's going to be out for the round three match against the Gold Coast Titans. Yet you bring in a bloke like Tommy Dearden, who's obviously also got enormous raps on him. Corey Oates looks like he's out. You turn to Herbie Farnworth. You've got Xavier Coates. It's in great shape, isn't it, the Broncos club?
No, yeah, definitely right with that. Yeah, I think a lot of those guys you mentioned played or tasted first grade for the first time last year. A lot of those guys you're speaking about, I think they're all top talent in their age group. They're some of the best guys in their age group going around, and we're lucky enough to have them at our club. Obviously, they've played a bit of first grade, most of those blokes. So when we do have a couple of injuries or suspensions, they come straight in. But you mentioned Tommy Duke. I think he's definitely a future rep player of the future, and someone that we need to keep under our books for sure.
Just on the serious matter that's affecting everybody at the moment, Darius, how's the talk amongst your group about the virus, about how it's affecting you guys, about how you're going to get through it? Are guys in a pretty positive frame of mind, or are they concerned? Like, how are they handling that?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a pretty young group, so all the boys are, you know, pretty open to and pretty, I suppose, upbeat and just taking it as it comes. We've spoken, some of the leaders in the group have spoken with some of the RLPA representatives and had communication with them constantly, and obviously they're talking to the NRL about some, you know, things we can do and some guidelines and some things we can make sure we're just having a safe and healthy practice. But, I mean, as far as it goes, you can't really worry about the future. You just got to do what you can do. And as far as we know, the games are going with no crowds, and we're just going to keep playing until we hear otherwise.
Darius, what about some talk from the Gold Coast now that obviously next year there'll be minus Jai Arrow, they might let Pete's go, they might let Ryan James go, and they might have a massive crack at David Fifita. Would you be confident that he's going to be in the Broncos' colours moving forward?
Yeah, I don't think the Gold Coast are the only one after Dave, especially the way he's been playing the last 12, 18 months, or ever since his debuted, really. He's a special talent. We've all seen his try against the Cowboys, and it's pretty rare for someone at that age to be doing some of the things he's been doing. But, I mean, I don't know. It's hard. I don't know managers and other things. His family's here. He's been here from a young kid. I know he's went to school at the Gold Coast too, so that might be maybe the only other one that's concerning for the club, for the Broncos. But, I mean, as long as he's got good people around him, he wants to do the best for his family, I'm sure he'll stay a Bronco.
All right, Darius, good to catch up with you, mate. All the best for the season.
All right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. There he is, NRL legend, Brisbane Bronco. Darius Boyd joining us.
Darius did a really good job. He had James Robinson. They gave him a couple of one-on-one shots, and Darius handled him, and even the last play of the game, Jimmy the Jet, like we all know, like how he's speeding. It was an amazing tackle that Darius did. And, you know, especially sort of, you know, last year he was under a fair bit of pressure, you know, and they took the captaincy off him, but, you know, he hasn't dropped the bottom lip, and he...
He sounded a bit like a man. Yeah, it's a credit to himself. Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break, boys. We'll come back and we'll do a little bit of a thing called I Call BS. Remember, we've got Maroon's poll, and if you want to get involved in it, all you need to do is...
Why are you getting so much enjoyment out of it?
I know. Hey,
when you heard someone chuckle, it was...
You've already been. Not many ever want to get involved with it. Yeah. So.
Get on the poll.
I think the captain's challenge should be scrapped. I
mean, get on the line.
Get on the poll. I think the captain's challenge should be scrapped. Triple M NRL Facebook or Twitter page. Loser. It's still 58% in favour.
It's not.
It is. That's what Tommy Birmingham's telling me. 58%. We'll check it again shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M
Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And, of course, it's all thanks to our mates right across Australia who sponsor the Sunday Sinbin, like celebrations. Tyre Power, you get up to $100 cash back on selected BFG tyres. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Maroon's poll and update, a couple of people of what they've said. Sharon Cooper says it should be scrapped. It's a waste of time. Anthony Webb says keep it, but have one look. If they can't tell, deny the challenge. Don't spend forever looking at it. That's a good point. And Mark Finnemore says it slows down the game far too much.
Yeah, look, we've already seen over the weekend some teams have begun to use it tactically. I think it was at the there was a game yesterday where they challenged it, they won it. It was tackle five anyway.
Yeah, correct. And it was the Roosters and Manly. Roosters and Manly. It drove everyone mad because it took about 5 minutes to get the decision.
And that's the issue. And I think, yeah, look, let me just explain a couple of things. I'm in favour of a captain's challenge, but not the current system. But Andrew John said the other day that these players work on recovery times of about 40 seconds. So all their training efforts are all about 40-second recoveries. Now, if you talk about boxers, boxers work on three-minute rounds with 1 minute break. Now, that 1 minute break for a boxer who is fit is more than enough time to recover. Rugby league's an endurance sport, yet we're having these breaks in play as we go to the video referee now, and we've got the extra one now because of the challenge, which teams are beginning to use tactically rather than for a genuine challenge. And they're using it, and they're getting what sometimes minute 20, minute 40 break while the video referee takes the time. It's too long. The NRL tried to smother it when they announced it by saying teams had 10 seconds. They tried to smother the debate then about the time it would take and the time it would waste. It was a total furphy. The fact is it takes between anywhere from a minute, as I said, it's taken up to a minute 40 in some instances, average is about a minute 20. If they're working on 40-second recovery, these guys, that's twice what they normally need to recover.
I like the challenge. I like the challenge, but what Why? I thought it was... Well, what I thought it was they were going to challenge a big decision, whether it's a try scoring. So listen, so referees make all the decisions, right? Not whether I lost the ball, mate. Ooh. The first one ever in the rugby league was Campbell Gillard. You got the ball stripped. You ask any front row, I didn't lose the ball. Yeah. It's the most ridiculous
Well, the one thing
decision,
it has, but the one thing it has helped there.
But they can't challenge that. But they challenge a big decision. They got to challenge a point scoring decision. And then obviously the referees go try, no try. And if And then if the players want to judge it, judge it. If not...
Yeah, that's what I've been saying for 2 years, Gordon.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, but that's what I thought was coming in. I tell you what else
is
going on.
Why did you say that just before?
Well, because I didn't want to harp, Gordon.
Okay.
All right. No,
that's unlike you, Paul.
I think we've still got time. No, I tell you what I'll do. You guys have gibbered on about that. What we'll do is, if you want to get involved
for an hour and a half.
In our poll, you keep pushing. If you keep poking my cage... I am going to blow up, mate. I'm going to bristle up at you, mate, right?
No,
okay?
Good.
It'd be like a chihuahua.
Right. Here we are, the bullies.
You're like a little chihuahua.
Triple M NRL Facebook or Twitter page, the captain's challenge. I think it should be scrapped. Do you agree? Yes or no? We'll come back. Hour two coming up. Jared Croker. We'll talk more NRL as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.